Welcome to The Grind, the realest show ever. Real people, real life, real insight. We bridge gaps through unscripted conversation, improvising, adapting, and overcoming life's obstacles. There is life outside of the box. Take a chance on you today. Enjoy the show.
You know, people have no idea what you went through to get to where you are. So many times it seemed like it was over. But God, Isaac Carey, tell them about it.
Every time I think that I'm all by myself. Oh, yeah. I just look up in the sky and that's where I find my help.
Somebody needs to hear this right here.
You might think that you've got it all worked out.
Yep.
And you think that everything's okay. Yeah. There ain't nothing that you've done to deserve His mercy and His grace.
He gives us what we don't deserve. That's why we say it's amazing.
You were about to lose everything.
Yep. I know I'm not the only one who's been there.
When the doctor said in the day.
Yep. He made the doctor.
And the devil tried to test your faith.
He thought he really had you this time.
That accident you passed last night was meant to take your life.
If you be honest, if God hadn't covered you,
it would have been you in the grave.
Yep.
Could have been you with the pain.
Right.
When the judge said 20 to life, should have been calling your name, but.
right. Yes, yes, and yes. Absolutely love that song, everybody. Welcome to the grind. Thank you guys for chiming in and actually being a part of the grind this morning. You know, this is the realest show ever. Unscripted conversations. And as I always say, guys, I promise you I'm going to say something that somebody has been thinking. But that's okay. That's what we do. But we're going to do it tastefully. And we're going to have fun here on the grind, guys. You know, I hope you love that song. You know, there's so many times in life where, you know, you think you're counted out and everybody else counts you out. But, you know, you get to that point to where, you know, God always shows you the light at the end of the tunnel and you got something to move forward to. You know, but you just have to stand still and listen sometime and see exactly what he's trying to tell you and listen to what he's saying. And you'll actually get an out, you know. But a lot of times we get so wrapped up in our situations to a point to where we can't hear the voice of God. So, guys, I want to talk about something that is that I believe is paramount in life this morning. And a lot of us suffer from, you know what, not a lot of us, all of us go through this. I won't even say suffer, but all of us go through having to make, you know, certain decisions in life, you know, good or bad. You know, we have to make decisions, you know. So you always, you know, we hear people say decisions, decisions, decisions. They're all around us. So, you know, guys, hopefully you've got that cup of coffee. If you don't, go ahead and grab it. Let me take a sip here. Because I can't start my day without my coffee. And I know some of you out there that are the same way. My wife absolutely knows that she can't talk to me that much in the morning until I've had my coffee. So I can't even really make imperative decisions before I've had my coffee. That's kind of crazy, but hey, I need that job. I need that Joe. Gotta have it. So again, welcome to the realest show ever, guys. Unscripted conversation. Let's talk about something this morning. I want to talk about decisions, you know, because I know there's those moments in life, guys, that makes us scratch our heads about potential life-altering decisions. And even some of the decisions that are not life-altering, we scratch our heads. We scratch our heads about everything. You know, there are things that we absolutely have to take into consideration when making our decisions in life, but, you know, not the things that we don't control. So we scratch those out, put those on the back. But if you don't control it, then, you know, unless you can figure out a way to control it, it's going to happen anyway. All right. But, you know, I believe God put us here to affect some positive change. That means we're called to be the light in a dark place. And yes, newsflash, everybody, this is a dark place. So we're born into it and we're expected to be the light in that dark space. So why is there so much darkness? A lot of people make decisions that are counterproductive to their success. That's the meat and potatoes of what we want to talk about this morning. Why do people make decisions that are counterproductive to their success? You know, we've always heard people say our success and failure is attached to our decisions. But, you know, you guys already knew that. You've heard that time and time again, you know, and you know that whatever your decisions are, it's going to determine your success. And if you don't understand that, then you're still kind of deflecting everything onto other people. Yeah, there are people out there that always say, you know, it's not my fault, you know, yada, 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 this happened, that happened. But, you know, at the end of the day, you still got to take responsibility because it's a failure. And you made a decision at some point in time to do something that puts you in that position. So, you know, but no one really wants to hear that. So what if we know that already? We know what the decisions are going to do, how they affect us. But why do we make poor decisions? Our decisions basically give us the ability to do two things. All right. We're either going to make a decision through our emotions or by knowledge. We either know something to make a decision or we make it through the emotions. And the best case scenario is that we use both at the same time. But when we make a decision with either of the two independent of the other, it's called risk. So that's a word that not a lot of people like to hear. No one wants to hear No, you got to take risks. I don't want to take any risks. It's nice and comfortable over here. If I'm not taking risks, I'm fine just being average and mediocre and just who I am, you know. So I got a lot of friends over here in this area. So, you know, we're all good over here. We don't have to take any risks, no problem. So, but when you make a decision independent of one of those things, knowledge and emotions, if you make it void of one of those things, then what happens? You know, real people, guys, take risks, and the real people make decisions. And that's what I really want to talk about this morning, the decisions that risk takers make, you know, as opposed to, you know, the decisions that people just make in general, you know, average people. So we kind of want to dissect that a little bit this morning. But the reason people take the risk, become more successful than others, for the most part, is because they understand that nothing is really guaranteed. All right. So the reason that people that take risks are more successful than others is really because they understand that nothing is really guaranteed. You know, they want to get to the end result as quick as possible before someone else beats them to the punch, right? You know, the early bird gets the worm. So be it good or bad, you got to make a decision. But when you make that decision, some people say you don't want to make a hasty decision. You know, I get that. But we've always heard that successful people, you know, make decisions quick and they're slow to turn back. But why is that? I'm going to tell you what it is here, you know, in just a moment. But all of this is called risks. But the risk taker knows that if he takes the risk, there's going to be a result. And he knows that he's going to be successful because he gets more chances to be successful the more risks that he takes. So it's like going to, let me see if I can give you a good example. It's like going to the state fair. You all know the games that are in the state fairs or whatever you want, the fairs that you go to with all the shaky rides on that we just get on. But the fairs that you go to, and they've got those games, and they've got the game that you throw the darts and you pop the balloons with the dart. I know you guys all know that game. You know, you get it's like three balloons up there, and they give you three darts. So you got three chances to pop at least, I think it's two balloons that you got to pop. So you get three chances to win, what, a teddy bear or something like that, all right? So the more you try, the better you get, right? So when you're at the fair and you throw the dart and you don't get it the first time, then you're going to ask for more darts. You know, something in you that says, I'm going to ask for more darts. I got to get it. You need more chances. But there's those people that will just walk away. Oh, I tried. You know, I didn't get it. You know, let's walk away. So, but consider the person that understands that I need to try again. I need more darts. And you just keep throwing the darts until you get better. So when you're sitting there at the fair and you're actually throwing the darts, you know, the key is you're doing and you're not considering. So when you're trying to get that teddy bear, you know, and the more I do it, I'm gonna learn as I'm doing it. So, but there's the person that takes the three darts and carefully he'll calculate the trajectory, the form, what speed to use. You know, he just thinks out everything. Now I'm kind of familiar with this person because for a while I was this person. I was very, very analytical. Didn't really want to take a ton of risks. I was comfortable where I was. Was making, you know, comfortable money because, you know, guys, it's always just comfortable money. Okay. When you're not living your dream, when you're not being free, you're not living in freedom. It's always just comfortable money. All right. But there's that person that will take those three darts and carefully map out everything. I'm going to throw it this arc with this speed, with this flick of the wrist. And you're calculating because of what? Because there's a fear of failure. You don't want to fail. So you're calculating every little move that you make, and I got to put my right foot forward here, and I got to bend my knees a little bit, and boom, and I'm throw this dart, okay? Then there's that person that just throws the darts as best they can at that moment, because they're willing to learn as they go, because they don't have a fear of failure. They have a failure to fear. So it took me a while to really grasp this because, you know, corporate America had really, you know, watered me down. I mean, I was soggy. I mean, to the rest of the world, I was soggy, but to engineering, you know, I was a beast. In the shell that I was in, I was a beast. There was nothing that I couldn't do. I knew my job. But when you left there, what happened? What were you? Yeah, you were that dude. Okay, he has a nice job. He has a nice career. You know, yada, yada, yada. But that's it. There's no more substance to you. There's nothing else. Because now you're comfortable. You're sitting on the couch with the remote, you know, eating chips and watching sitcoms all night long. And on the weekends, you're watching marathons. There's nothing. There's nothing else to you other than you in that box, in that shell. So the people that throw a lot of darts and they're not afraid to fail, they never had a fear of failure, or they fail to fear. So there's the calculated, then the uncalculated, the seen and the unseen, of course, the known and the unknown. We know, you know, how all of these go, and we know that there's some value in both of these approaches, right? I mean, there's some value in being calculated. If you're that person that just wants to be, you know, omnifaceted, you know, you just want to be known as the dude that just, you know, well, I know that dude. He walks around the neighborhood and he just picks up trash whenever he sees it, and that's it. You know, that dude right there, yeah, oh, that's Mr. Jimmy. He's the bus driver. That's all you ever known him to do. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Lois over there, yeah, she does hair. She's great at just doing hair. And that's great once you find your level of passion and you're flowing in your level of passion. If your passion is being a bus driver, then be the best bus driver you can be. That's your passion, and you're good there. You figure out different ways within your passion to move from level to level in that profession. If you do hair, you're a great hairdresser. I don't know many hairdressers, you know, come to think of it, that really aren't passionate about what they do. I mean, it takes a lot of passion to stand on your feet for long hours. You know, it takes a lot of passion to deal with people, you know, on a daily basis that may like or not like what you do. It takes a lot. So, you know, when you're that person, if that's your passion, then do it. What about the people that aren't really living their passion? What about the people that haven't really taken any risks in life? What about the people that are just afraid to fail? What about those people? Some of us fit in this category. For a long time, I fit in that category because I was comfortable where I was because I couldn't miss, man. There was no failure. I knew my job back and forward. I knew everything about it. I knew if somebody came to me with a question, there was very little that I couldn't solve. But I was comfortable in that box. There was nothing else. I was one directional. I was singular. There was no depth at all to me. But that person that takes those darts and just keeps throwing and throwing and throwing, there are endless opportunities for that person. So there's value in both, depending upon how you look at it. But successful people always calculate winning because they visualize the outcome as always favorable to themselves. And they make the best of it however it ends up. But here's the most important thing that successful people do. They learn from what the average person calls failure. It's a lesson for them. They never really call it failure. They'll say, look, it just took me, you know, it took me 17 tries to pop the balloon. You know, it took me 1,000 tries to create, you know, the light bulb. It's never failure to them. They always call it something else, because it really is. It's not failure. So that's why they're successful. They have a lot more opportunities to be successful than the person that's calculating every single move. So you can put those same two people in front of the same game for an hour and give them unlimited darts for an hour. And I promise you, neither one of them had any dart-throwing skills. You're not a dart-throwing Olympic pro. I can promise you that the person that is not calculating every single throw is going to walk away with the most teddy bears. Decisions. You know, they make or break us, guys, but how many decisions are you making a day? How many decisions are you pondering over? You know, some of you are saying, well, you know, I gotta, you know, be prudent in what I do. I gotta make sure that I'm not making the wrong decision. I get that. But everything has a limit. So right now, some of you are calculating right now. But ask yourself, you're trying to figure out what's right, what's wrong, what are my limits? You know, I got to push myself and I got to grow. Successful people are saying that because they know that, you know, they know what their breaking point is. They know how far they can go. They know what their limits are. Some of us have never pushed ourselves to the limit to even grow, to even try to be successful. But you can't know how far you can go until you've gone too far. And so you have to test that limit. So that means you want to give yourself as many tries as you can. There's nothing to be gained by playing small, right? So the risk taker, you know, risk takers are typically the most successful people. So as I said, some of you right now, you even as I talk, you're calculating the risk of the thing that you've been, you know, wanting to do, you know, or that person that you've been wanting to talk to about your products or your business. And the fear of the unknown is paralyzing you because you just don't know exactly what's going to happen. You don't know how it's going to turn out. You know, if I start doing this, this thing right here, how's it going to turn out? You know, what's the person, what is he going to say? And you never know unless you try. So that the key to success is taking the shots. How many shots are you taking? How many shots are you taking a day? Or are you just calculating all day? You know, we got the opportunity this weekend to take my son down to an AAU basketball tryout. And you know, we were in the gym and, you know, it's a big to-do and it was quite a few people in there, ton of kids, you know, a lot of talent in the building. And, you know, Scottie Pippen walks in the door and, you know, then we see a couple other, you know, Hall of Fame coaches that walk in from the Gators and, you know, other college teams. And, you know, there was a couple other NBA players in there. You know, we started to see championship rings, you know, floating around. So it was a big to do, you know, and, you know, I learned that, you know, my son's skill set had increased, you know, in basketball, you know, because, you know, he's passionate about basketball. So I looked at Scottie Pippen and I said, wow, you know, he's looking a little older, of course, you know, but he's still Scottie Pippen. But I look at people like Scottie. I look at Michael Jordan. I look at, you know, Steph Curry, LeBron James, you know, all of the greats. When I mention those names, they all kind of ring a bell. Even if you don't even really follow basketball, everybody knows Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen were one of the greatest tandems in NBA history. Everybody knows that. You know, everybody knows that Steph Curry is a knockdown, drag out 3-point shooter. Everybody knows that 77 3-pointers in a row. Everybody knows that LeBron James is the beast from the East. Everybody knows that this guy is Mr. Automatic. You know, when he wants to take over a game, he can take over a game. At least everybody has heard the names. But why do you remember the names? Why just the names? Why do you may not remember everything that they did, but there's a reason why you remember their names. But it was a failure to fear that made them great. Think about Michael Jordan. I mean, Michael Jordan was that. I mean, when I was a kid, I patterned myself after Michael Jordan. I loved Michael Jordan. So was I ever afraid to shoot the ball? Absolutely not. Every time I got the ball, if I was open, I would shoot it. And I taught my son the same thing. I said, if you're open, shoot the ball. You can't. There's no way you can learn to do a thing unless you're doing the thing in a real-time situation. So, you know, you look at Steph Curry. How did he get so well? How did he get so good at shooting the ball? He got so good because he shot the ball a lot. He made a decision. He gets the ball. He doesn't ponder. He sees the light. He shoots it. That's what he does. LeBron James, when he knows he needs to take over the game, that's what he does. He doesn't ask the coach. He just does it. He's a doer. There's an action in the doer. It's an action. So there is no failure. They don't see failure. So they have no fear. A lot of us are paralyzed because of fear. Their failure to fear is what made them great. They made a decision to play big and not small. I mean, there are too many people already playing small. I mean, that job is taken. I mean, there are people standing in line waiting to play small. But not you. You want to play big because you're taking risks. You're understanding that you need to move out of the area that you're in right now. You need to move to another level. So, you know, you want to play big, but you got to make some decisions. You got to make some decisions, and you can't ponder those decisions. You have to quickly understand, okay, do I have the knowledge? If you don't have the knowledge, I can get the knowledge. Okay, boom, how do I feel about this? Okay, this is good. Okay, this is still good. Boom, let's do it. Let's do it. I just like this show. Had I ever done radio before? No, I procrastinated about it for a long time. For 4 years, I procrastinated about this show. So that means I played small for 4 years. The only thing I knew about radio was what I heard on the radio. And that's it. So did I go and did I read up on radio shows and books and things of that nature? No, because this show is a means to an end. There are multifaceted things that will spawn itself from the grind, and that's vision. There's vision. So moving yourself to the next level is about taking risks, learning along the way. And that's what I finally had to realize, you know what? I can't calculate and pinpoint every single thing in my life that I think is going to happen, because when I start calculating all of the risks, when I start weighing all of the risks, you know, I realize that, you know, my mind is geared up to protect and preserve. And it's geared up that way. I've said this before. It's geared up that way because it's there to protect, you know, what's on the inside. It's there to protect, you know, the precious cargo, the temple. It's protecting you from hurting yourself. But we all know the mind is stronger than the body. When we're playing small and we're going through life, we get up and we do the same thing every single day. We fail to make the decisions that we know we need to make in life. Then we're playing small. So, you know, I used to tell my basketball players when I was coaching, you know, you You got to shoot the ball. As a matter of fact, I'm gonna get mad at you and take you out of the game if you have an open shot and you don't shoot. The only way you're gonna get better at shooting is by shooting, and the only way you really get better at shooting or by making decisions is by making decisions during game time. So, needless to say, I had a team full of shooters. Did it take 4 or 5 games for us to get there and for them to build that confidence in shooting? Absolutely. But it's a necessary evil. They were willing to take the jump. They took the jump, and they were willing to miss some shots. So when they missed shots, I said, no problem, shake it off, let's go, next play. But it's when we dwell on the failure. It's when we dwell on the missed shots. I mean, let's just be real. You can't miss a shot that you never took. But you can miss an opportunity to take a shot that could change your life, that could change the outcome of the game. So by shooting the ball constantly, these individuals that I just mentioned became great. They took charge. They became the leaders. I always talk about the industry that we're in, direct sales and network marketing, and I talk about how it was created to create leaders. Because, you know, out in the world, there are a lot of people that are just, people are just followers. Some people don't even really ever aspire to be leaders. They don't. They're okay with just being followers. And if that's who you are, then that's who you are. But the industry of network marketing was created to create leaders, or to at least give everybody the opportunity to be a leader, to create something that they've never done before, to create an attitude, to create an income, to create a financial situation that they've never had, they would have never otherwise had the opportunity to create in the traditional business or traditional world. Because on your job, you're bound to what they're going to give you. And there are no significant raises that you determine. So it's all about what they want you to have and not what you want to have. So it's all about playing big. What are your decisions? What decisions are you making? How many decisions a day are you really making? How many decisions are you pondering right now? Think about that thing that you've always wanted to do. And now just start thinking about, okay, what is it that you need to do that thing? And then you start thinking about, okay, so I need this, 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 and this. But wow, okay, if I don't have this, then this is going to happen. So now once I do that, then I'm going to fail. Then they're going to laugh at me. And then they're going to say, oh, you know, but I knew they shouldn't have did that. I knew that shouldn't have happened. And now you're calculating all of that. You're calculating what it's going to be, how, if you fail, how you're going to feel. And when you get into that side of your brain is when you become paralyzed and you're confused. And we all know that a confused mind does absolutely nothing. We continue to get up every morning. We continue to go to work and we continue to come home, go to bed and get up the next day and do it all over again. As Pam and I used to call that the circle of insanity, along with, you know, having all of the bills that you got to pay, all these bills you got to pay. And you're looking at the bills and you're looking at, you know, your job, and you're looking at how much money you're making, and you figure that thing out just to that point to where, okay, I've got just enough money to pay my bills. And that leaves me about an extra $200. So you take your hopes, your dreams, your aspirations, and you put it inside of that box, and all that doesn't fit inside that box just kind of falls off to the side and you forget about it. So you minimize yourself. You start playing small because you think you can only play with what's inside that box, because that's what they've told you. We've been programmed to believe that we can only have, or we can only do X, Y, and Z. Don't even think about trying to do A, B, and C. That's that, you can't do that. Okay. This is what you can do, and this is what you can have. But when we start thinking outside of that box, we start making decisions that are conducive for our success. You start making conditions that are conducive for your success that you know is going to move you to the next realm, or do you? You may not even know what it's going to do specifically, but you're confident that whatever happens is going to happen to your benefit. You're not worried about failure, because failure is just you're just trying a lot of different ways before you get to what actually worked. If you see, it's all about how you perceive things. A person's perception is their reality. If your perceptions are that you're going to fail, then of course you're going to fail and you're never going to move. So it's about time that we learn to take that box that they've given us and split those corners off, flatten it out, and broaden your playing field. Allow yourself to start playing outside of the box. As a matter of fact, just cut the box up and throw it away. Because God never gave us boundaries. He never said, you got to stay here. You can't go here. He never said that. He said, go forth, be fruitful, and multiply. And now here we are. We've allowed society. We've allowed the world. We've allowed corporate America, whatever your situation is, we've allowed it to put us in a box and play small. Because they've told us that, they've programmed us that the risk, you can't take risk. Some of you right now are looking at a business opportunity and you're afraid to take the risk, and it only costs you $50 or $100. Some of you, whatever, some of you are afraid to take a risk for a small amount of money. And you're contemplating, well, what if I fail? Man, you only spent $50. What if you do fail? So what? Man, you only spent $200. You blew that, you know, at the slot machine the other day. You blow that a month on the lottery. Make a decision and take a risk on something different. Do something different. We make all of these comfortable decisions every day. And we me and Pam always joke, you know, because, you know, there was a time when we had to look in the couch for money. You know, some of you know what I'm talking about. You pull up that cushion, you're trying to find that change because, your son, your daughter needs some lunch money. And they're saying they're hungry. And there's nothing in the fridge for you to give them. And you've got two more days to go before payday. So you pull up those cushions. And you start finding money where there's a why, you find your way. You find your why, you find your way. So what's your why? What are the decisions that you're making? How is it moving you to the next level? See, I'm hoping that what I'm saying is pissing somebody off enough to where they get to a point to where, you know what, they get sick and tired of being sick and tired. They get sick and tired of playing small. They get sick and tired of people telling them what they need to do, when they need to do it, and how they need to do it. See, because you're never going to have that financial freedom. You're never going to have that time freedom. You're never going to have the freedom that you see people have that go where they want to go, when they want to go. You're never going to have that freedom until you start making some decisions and taking some risks. Until you start stepping outside of your comfort zone. We always say that your comfort zone is your broke zone. And boy, that is one of the truest statements in the world. But we have a way of tricking ourselves. We trick our minds for good or bad. We can trick ourselves into believing that where we are is beautiful. Inside of the box, plush. Ah, we're good. We're good. But you got to get up. You got to go to work every day, and you got to do exactly what somebody else tells you to do, when they tell you to do it, and how they tell you to do it. Some of you say, I need a job. I got to have a job. You do. You need a job until you can fire your job. Job means just over broke. Most people that have a job are just over broke. There are people that's on this line right now where I have a career. I had a career until I got laid off and I didn't have a plan B. And then that career didn't look so bright. And then I couldn't get another job because the industry had gotten saturated. So what was I going to do? I had played small for so long. I had played in a comfortable box for so long that I wasn't exploring my full potential. I wasn't pushing myself to the limit. I never knew how far I could go. I never knew what I could accomplish until I started pushing myself to do different things, to do bigger things, to do better things. And you find out that, you know what, this is fun. It's fun trying to figure out different ways to be successful because I no longer view it as failure. My failure to fear has superseded my fear of failure. So what decisions are you making right now to change your life? Or are you just calculating what it will cost to jump? Put the calculator away, ladies and gentlemen, and start taking some risks in life. Move yourself to the next level. You'll absolutely love yourself when you do. You know, ladies and gentlemen, my time is up. It's been absolutely amazing talking to you guys on the grind this morning. As always, it's an absolute honor and a pleasure having you guys listening, you know, in on the show. You know, tell a friend about the grind, and, you know, we're definitely going to look to always bridge some gaps here. Hopefully something that was said on this show bridged some gaps today, and now we understand that what was said through what was said here would actually help you move to the next level, stop playing small, and take some risks. Ladies and gentlemen, the show happens every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 8 a.m. I'll see you guys back here live on Thursday morning at 8 a.m. You guys have a great and amazing, blessed day.
You said yes, you can.
I overcame.
out of her in condition. Oh my. With the Lord on your side, you can do anything. He said, I can, I know, I will. Triumph over the enemy. Sing it with me, sing it, sing. Again, I know, I will. Triumph over the enemy. Sing it again. I can, I know, I will. Triumph over the enemy. I know I will triumph.